What's up, patrons all across the SKU universe? Welcome back. We got another bonus edition of Weekly SKUs for you. I'm Trey. That's Mark. First time I think that we've been together since like pre-holidays, I believe, because we took a week off and then you had moving kerfuffles on Tuesday. So yeah, it's been a minute.
We did a Patreon episode last week to make up for Christmas and Christmas.
Oh yeah, you're right. I'm an idiot. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. This is the first time anybody's seen your new wallpaper. I told them on Tuesday that the patrons, that's another bonus they get. Is they get, you know, the exclusive first look at the new wallpaper, you know, because everybody on the main show waiting with bated breath to see what you're working with there. And we got some, you know, I always said you're a fun guy, Mark, so it's a good choice, you know.
My wife's making some look. This is our office / guest bedroom. We're calling it the mushroom. That's our bed right here. So it's working out pretty great. Moving sucks, by the way. Don't ever do it. I know you're about to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our movers were quite clearly not professionals, and they fucked everything up. They took way too long. That's why I missed Tuesday's show, and they took apart shit that didn't need to be taken apart because they got paid by the hour. We didn't notice they were doing it. And they broke a bunch of shit. But like halfway through, it's so you can't help but when you ever halfway through getting scammed, and you're like, this is fucking hilarious. This is like, they got me.
I'm sure that has happened, and I probably just continued on through with it and just finished it out and just, you know, let them wrap up the scamming of me because that's sort of how I roll. But it's Saturday, January 6th. Happy January 6th to all of y'all out there, by the way. It's the big anniversary. 2024, 1:05 p.m. on the left coast as we sit down to do this. So.
Yeah, a couple of things I wanted to mention before we get to the show. So the Church of Latter-day Saints got caught funding Hamas.
Mm-hmm. That's fun.
But they were invested in like some hedge funds and private equity shit they didn't know was funding money to Hamas. But like the thing here is like American intelligence and Israeli intelligence both knew this years ago and never told anybody that these companies were funding Hamas. And it's just like another huge intelligence failure. And I kind of don't understand why heads don't roll over this shit. Like, because, of course, the bad actors, the main parties to blame, but also the people you pay to protect you when they fail should fucking suffer some consequences, right?
Do they have some kind of, like, rationale for it where it's like, well, we didn't say anything because we wanted to, like, keep it a secret and continue tracking the, you know, if we blew it all up, then, you know, this would go away and we'd have to find the next company they were using, but we know where this one's at, you know, the devil you know type of thing. I'm not saying that's legitimate. I'm just wondering if that's their
We got to protect our sources and methods and keep them in place so we can do stuff like prevent October 7th,
right? Yeah, which they also didn't do. Yeah, right, exactly.
So we used to have accountability for this shit. Like Lincoln fired a bunch of generals for not being aggressive enough, for losing battles in the Civil War. Stalin you know, would have generals shot for fucking up, like, or told them to kill themselves just for not winning a battle decisive enough. And then here we are, we have a bunch of people fucking up, and it's just like, well, I guess we got to leave them in charge because accountability is bad. This story is incredibly maddening. A middle school teacher in Georgia was arrested for terrorist threats because he had an Israeli flag hanging in his classroom. Mm-hmm. All right. And a student says she was offended by it because Israelis are killing Palestinians, which is, whether or not you think it's justified, is just an objectively true fact that Israel's killing Palestinians. And the teacher told her that her observation was anti-Semitic and threatened to drag her to the parking lot and cut her fucking head off.
Yeah.
A middle schooler.
Right. A seventh grader. The story is like kind of funny right up until you get to the actual quote where, you know, he literally was talking about decapitating and slitting the throat of one of his seventh grade students. And you're like, well, I mean, you know, that's obviously not cool. You can't have that. But Warner Robins, Georgia is like a military town. There's a huge DOD presence in Warner Robins. I can't remember which branch it is, but it's like, because, you know, I worked in contracting at the DOE. A lot of people came up there from Warner Robins and we did business with them and shit. So that's why I'm aware of that. But I'm not totally surprised that there's like some hardcore Israel support in Warner Robins, you know, but it taking the form of a seventh grade teacher, you know, threatening to kill one of his students this is obvious, but like, she was like, well, I have a problem with that because Israelis are like killing people. And he's like, you shut up, you little bitch, or I'll fucking kill you. You know, don't you imply that Israelis are killing people? I'm Israeli. You keep saying that. I'm going to take you out of the parking lot and fucking kill you right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where you get off implying that we kill people. Like, you know.
That he had relatives in Israel. Not that they were victims of the October 7th or anything, but just that he had relatives living in Israel. And I get why. I mean, look, seventh graders are allowed to be stupid, even if you think she's stupid. Like, that's part of the deal with being a seventh grader. And I like, even if like you disagree with her, this is a teachable moment about how like times of world strife and drives us, drags us apart. But you know, we're all Americans, and it, like, it's like, I don't, no one's giving each other grace right now at all.
You don't have kids, so you're a neutral observer. When do you think kids should be like somewhat engaged or informed? Cause this might, you know, I've got a sixth grader, he's halfway through sixth grade, not quite a seventh grader. And then a fifth grader, his brother, and they don't, like, they don't know shit about politics or what's going on in the world. And that's by design on my part. I know they're getting older now, but I was always like, you know, when they were younger, I was like, I'm not, this shit don't hit. I don't like being consumed by this stuff all the time. You know what I mean? Like, they're kids. They don't need to, what are they going to do about it anyway? I'm just not going to worry them with it. But at what point do you reach a place where it's like, well, now they should be somewhat aware of, you know, the world they live in and stuff? Like, you know, what do you think about that? Like, when do you cross that line?
But the thing with the kids here is like, they absorb the world through TikTok, right?
Right.
And this is inescapable on TikTok, but because like, there's a bunch of viral videos about like calling what Israel's doing in Gaza genocide. And there's also like the Israeli soldiers are making gleeful TikToks about fucked up shit they're doing.
Right.
So they're seeing like, if I was the IDF, I would first of all ban all my soldiers from social media just for like
security reasons, if for no other, you know what I mean? Like, you'd think like, it's just it seems like that would be a problem with security protocols and stuff.
But it's like, it's weird that both sides are trying to radicalize kids against Israel. It's like it's a very weird phenomenon happening right now. And so if you're getting that information, if like you're saying like, okay, well the news is, CNN's telling you Israel's the good guys, but you're seeing like people they're doing gender reveals by blowing up Palestinian houses, like civilian houses. It's like, what? You know, it's like, it's very jarring and disconcerting, and I don't understand anything that's happening right now, and I don't know if anyone else does either.
Well, the other thing, I brought it up, just so everybody knows, my sons do not yet have cell phones or any kind of social media apps on the, you know, tablets that they do have. So they're not yet, they love YouTube, but they love watching like German guys play Minecraft and talk silly and shit on YouTube. That's all. They haven't found, I live in fear of them finding like Andrew Tate and all that shit one day, but obviously I'm not going to just like let that slide. I'm going to engage with that when it happens, but we're still not there yet in my house so far. So,
yeah, I mean, you're smart. And a fun data point here is like wealthy tech executives who have nannies and shit don't let their kids have screen time. So people that work at YouTube don't let their kids look at YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Tells you something. But anyway, all right, we're going to get into this little bonus episode here. Producer Matt is with us behind the scenes, pulling the strings, doing the things. I'm not going to worry y'all with the items of business. That's part of what you get from being patrons. You know what I have to say anyway. Come see me do stand up, all that shit. But today we're going to be, our main story today is Elon's new latest passion project, the Cybertruck, which I guess it's got some cyber qualities. It doesn't seem to be much of a truck to me. It was my original takeaway from it. I was like, that's not a truck, I don't think. Anyway, they're out now. The reviews are in. A lot of people are talking about it. We're going to talk about it too. And spoiler alert, it largely don't hit, but we'll get to that a little later first.
It should not be allowed on the road is the main takeaway. But yeah, go ahead.
But first, we begin with our daily dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Today's DD, Christo-fascist for not realizing they could just skip ahead and declare themselves demigods. Watch this newest Trump video posted by him on True Social.
And on June 14th, 1946, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God gave us Trump. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, fix this country, work all day, fight the Marxists, eat supper, then go to the Oval Office and stay past midnight at a meeting of the heads of state. So God made Trump. I need somebody with arms, strong enough to rustle the deep state, and yet gentle enough to deliver his own grandchild. Somebody to ruffle the feathers.
Okay, you're pausing there.
So I just want to add, Mark, do you recognize this?
No.
Okay, so the comic in me is like making me feel obligated to also point out, as insane and everything as this is, and we can talk more about that, this also is stolen, or it's a direct ripoff or whatever. Like, this isn't original. This is absolutely, you can look it up, you'll see immediately. There was a, it was like, I don't know what, Paul Harvey made this thing. I don't know the context in which he made it. It got turned into an ag campaign, but it's called God Made a Farmer. It's like a, okay, it's like a pro farm PSA campaign or something, like Protect America's Farms, but like, and it's literally exactly this. Like, he, even most, some of the words are exactly like get up before dawn and all that. Like, they just changed it from farm. It's like, get up before dawn, feed 800 head of cat. Instead of that, it's go to this meeting. You know what I mean? Like, they literally just changed things from farmer stuff to president stuff, and changed it from God Made a Farmer to God Made Trump. So, I just also wanted to point that out. They're not even original in their, you know,
all right,
terrifying ideologuing or whatever they're doing.
I don't understand, like, we talk about this being a cult of personality a lot, but some of the things in there are like, objectively untrue that we all know. Like he did not work, like, these people followed his tweets closer than anybody. He was live tweeting TV shows all day. Mm-hmm. Like, the idea that he worked all day and night is ridiculous. And I don't know where they got the thing that he birthed his own grandchild. He famously bragged about never having changed a diaper and shit. So I don't fucking know where that comes from. But, like, for those of you who didn't grow up evangelical and the, you know, the, dominionist sort of environment like I did, a lot of language in this is just straightly comparing Trump to Jesus. Not just saying he was chosen by God, but like it contains many messianic descriptions of Trump as like a man who cares for the flock, a shepherd to mankind who won't leave or forsake them. That's like how the Bible talked about Jesus. In Psalms, David describes God as a shepherd who provides for the flock. The video also flashed images of himself next to Lena Haba in New York Civil Court while describing Trump as facing a den of vipers. Jesus described those who questioned his teaching as a brood of vipers. Like, he's just straight up calling himself Jesus.
Right.
And I, like, there's something, there's a somebody coined this term, it's Ariana Grande theory, but it's like the elections are decided by people who are as familiar with Trump and Biden as I am with Ariana Grande.
Oh, God.
And it's like, that's like, so it's like, holy shit, like, people need to undersee this shit, but I don't know if they're gonna see it and understand and get a right full view of his creepiness.
But what's wild about that to me, like, that as soon as you said that, that was impactful for, because I get exactly what that means immediately, and I was like, oh shit, that ain't good. But like, I don't engage with Ariana Grande stuff, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't like those people that are the equivalent but for politics. Like, you know, why are they voting and having political opinions and shit if they're not, you know what I mean? If that's as little as they know about it. But I guess, I don't know. They don't know how little they actually know, and what they do know, they feel strongly about, even though it's just a tiny little fraction of,
I mean, what Trump's all one there of is them
to know. Yeah, right.
Trump is a low information voter. That's how I can get away with all this shit. But anyway, if God did choose Trump, I think, like, I also he lost. How can God let his guy live? Anyway, whatever.
Right.
My point is, I just want to say that God chose poorly. I want to hear his Trump yesterday talking about Nikki Haley.
All right.
Come on, working man. On it. Matt's you can do it.
He's got it. Okay. Yeah, we believe in him. Here it comes.
Been in the pocket of the open. Nikki Haley has been in the pocket of the open borders establishment donors her entire career. And she's a globalist. You know, she likes the globe. I like America first. The people in their shoes.
She's a globalist. She likes the globe.
Nikki Haley has been.
You know, like how colonials like colons?
Right.
So Nikki Haley was the governor of South Carolina. To the extent she's interacted on the international stage at all, it's because Trump appointed her ambassador to the United Nations. Right. So, like, it's like, what the fuck? It's like, how is Nikki Haley a globalist? But, like, you might as well double down and call her a Jew, I guess. But she's not Jewish. She's a Christian South Asian. It doesn't matter. So, like,
right.
Nikki, I wanted to talk about Nikki Haley for a second. She really went through it last week. She had a town hall where she was asked what the cause of the Civil War was, and she did the rambling, like, answer that didn't mention slavery.
Yeah.
And then the guy at the fucking town hall is like, you didn't say slavery. And then they just accused that guy of being a Democrat plant, but a Democrat plant doesn't make you fucking answer stupidly. So she's been trying to explain her way out of this hole for,
I kind of can't I'm kind of surprised this is a hole that she's in. Do you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't be less surprised that when asked that question, she, you know, skirted mentioning slavery, because, you know, I'm from the fucking South. There's plenty of, you know, I thought that maybe we're getting better about that, but it's been a thing for a very long time. It's kind of chapter one shit acting like it wasn't about slavery. So, and she's a governor of South Carolina and all that. I just, that don't surprise me. The only thing that kind of does surprise me is that this did turn into like a scandal for her that she had to respond to, because I just didn't think that anybody over there cared. And I know that like Fox News picked it up and they went after her for it. And it's like, well, you know, maybe they just don't like Nikki Haley because, you know, whatever, going after her helps Trump or whatever it is. I don't know. I just found it odd that she like caught heat for doing it. Of course, I think it's an asinine thing to do. I'm just saying I didn't think it mattered on her side of the fence at all. So that kind of surprised me.
Yeah, it happened in New Hampshire, and New Hampshire's her one shot. New Hampshire Republicans are known to be of the saner variety. Like, right. Whenever there's an insurgent sane candidate, like, say, McCain versus Bush in 2001, I think McCain won New Hampshire. Nikki Haley has a shot to grab any sort of momentum towards the beginning of the primary calendar. It's New Hampshire. Right. Yeah, so she had a CNN town hall last night where she got offered a chance to redeem herself, and she said, I didn't say slavery because it's so obvious. I grew up in South Carolina where we're steeped in this stuff, and of course I knew it was slavery. I was trying to give a deeper answer, her answer was kind of the opposite of that. It was like, it was about federal government saving people's freedom. Mm-hmm. It's like, that sounds like a lost cause apology bullshit. States' rights. But she also said, growing up I had black friends.
Oh, there it is. An
excuse. It's like, not now.
Yeah.
40 years ago, I had black friends, so therefore I can't be racist.
That is funny, that part of the implication there. It's like, don't worry, they're not around anymore, so you can feel safe voting for me. But I also can't be racist because I did used to have some. So, trying to play all the hits there.
Oh, another fun story about her. She said this in an interview. Her husband's name is like William Michael Haley, I guess. And when she met him, he went by Bill. But after they've been dating for a little bit, she goes, "You don't look like a Bill to me. What's your middle name?" He goes, "Michael." And he goes, "Okay, you're Michael now." And she basically changed his name to Michael. I was like, Jesus Christ, what fucking lunatics these people are, man.
That's pretty wild. Our first honorable mention for Daily Dumbass is Hamas for not simply catching a ride on Epstein's plane instead. This is Alan Dershowitz saying some wild shit. Here in a minute, whenever Matt gets it pulled up. That's when you'll hear it. Here we go.
The point I do want to make is that I understand all the feminist groups and the radicals who think this is the worst thing in the world, that anybody ever had any contact with Jeffrey Epstein. Where are all those radical feminists when it comes to the Hamas rapes of young Jewish girls, sexual abuse, beheadings? They are quiet. They are silent. The incredible hypocrisy of the Me Too movement. Me Too, except if you're a Jew.
So how dare you care about my alleged rapes when you haven't said anything about Hamas's alleged rapes?
Yeah, right? It's one of the wilder cases of, you know, whataboutism that I've heard in a minute, this one here. But right. Yeah, it's all just like, you know, like the obvious answer for anybody is like, well, you know, I don't like those rapes either. I, you know, just generally take an anti-rape stance as it pertains to the entire world, both your rapes and Hamas's rapes and all those, you know, people can think that they're all bad. And also it's like, I don't know. We ain't got to get into all that, but yeah, it's just a wild ass thing to say.
Yeah. And so what he's responding to here, it's a lot of the Epstein documents have started rolling out related to Virginia Giuffre's, I think is actually last name, lawsuit against, I think, the Epstein estate in Ghislaine Maxwell. So in the documents, it's not as revelatory as people expected, but Donald Trump's in the flight logs. Among the people accused of actual sex crimes is Alan Dershowitz, this woman named Jane Doe number 3. Said Epstein forced her to have sex with Dershowitz on numerous occasions at his home in Florida on private planes. Also said that Dershowitz was an eyewitness to sex abuse involving other young girls. I just want to say, Virginia Giuffre, this poor fucking woman, man. She had already been sex trafficked once before she met Jeffrey Epstein. she was a kid who was hired as an underage model, but this guy who used this basically was running an escort service with underage girls. He got raided and arrested, and she was getting her life back together. She got a job working as a spa girl at Mar-a-Lago. And that's where she was recruited by Ghislaine Maxwell,
right,
into Jeffrey Epstein's network, allegedly, I'll say. Okay. So, but how the fuck is,
right,
like, why are the pro-Trump people, yes, making the most noise about
I was,
this?
That's what I was about to ask you, even before you got to her being at Mar-a-Lago when she was recruited or whatever. Like, I was going to ask you if I had been missing something, because like you said, the people that are making the most noise about this that I've seen on Twitter and stuff, and of course, Twitter has become, you know, it's shifted, you know, on, in a macro sense, mm-hmm, to the right also. But most of the people I've seen on Twitter talking about this Epstein shit is like MAGA people, pro-Trump people, talking about Bill Clinton, all this stuff, as though anybody's really going to bat hardcore for Bill Clinton on the left anyway. That's not really happening. But it's mostly them, and I keep seeing them, and I'm over here like, well, Trump's on it too, right? And they either don't mention it, or I've seen people outright say Trump had nothing to do with it, or I've seen a lot of them say, like, Trump was cleared. See, Trump was cleared. Bill Clinton wasn't cleared. Is there any, do you know what that's about when they say, are they just like making a thing up and just ignoring the fact, you know, just like rationalizing why his name is on there just to say what they want to say? Or is there actually something they're referencing about Trump in this list that they've come out or whatever?
The hardcore QAnon people think that Trump was going undercover to take down Jeffrey Epstein.
There you go. Okay. Right? All right.
but like, as far as the majority of Republicans who are somewhat reality based, like, I don't know.
Right.
It doesn't make any sort of fucking sense, but so Trump was Epstein's friend. He was recorded in interviews saying that Epstein likes girls, especially on the young side. He said that out loud, mm-hmm, in an interview. It was Bill Barr, who worked for Epstein's law firm, whose dad introduced Epstein to high society, was Trump's attorney general.
Right.
Alex Acosta was a U.S. attorney who let fucking Epstein skate. But pretty much get off scot-free or a slap on the wrist for for having sex with underage girls in Florida. And he got appointed to Trump's labor secretary. And it's like, we were texting about this the other day. I'm having trouble processing what people, the news, I understand why, because they can't say hypotheticals, right? But all we have are hypotheticals here. There's so much smoke. And people seem to think the sex was the point. And I just can't wrap my head around that, because if you think this sex was the point, he was just like, I'm going to have all these girls for people to have sex with. You see him as sort of like a benevolent pimp.
Right.
Like, right?
Right.
Which, are there benevolent free pimps? I'm not aware of.
Right. You're saying that like he did all that to like peddle influence and shit, right? And manipulate, right, these people or get things that he wanted or influence the type of change that he wanted, that type of thing. He was like, just like, yeah, like an oil company or Koch brothers or something, like lining the pockets of someone that they want to use as a puppet. He was doing that with like young girl sex parties and shit for the perverts of the elite, or right, something like that.
Like, let's remove the names and talk hypothetically here for a second. Okay, let's say there's a guy. He exists. He has a paper trail, but he's like a blue collar guy with no college degree. All right, somebody gets him a job teaching in a private school where Bill Barr's father worked, okay? All of a sudden, he has access to billions of dollars that really can't explain how he got. Governments look the other way while he's sex trafficking women, UK, here, wherever he went. He's introduced to high society. He's making all these A-list connections, inviting people to places they can't be surveilled to talk and make plans. And then when he does get caught, like a sheriff in Palm Beach goes off script and arrests him, the federal government, in the form of U.S. Attorney Alex Acosta, swoops in, steals the case, and gives him a light sentence. You'd be like, well, this is obviously also, by the way, his business partner, life partner, or whatever you want to call it, Ghislaine, her dad was a double agent for Mossad and MI5, who mysteriously ended up dead, drowned off the side of his boat, buck naked. And you look at all this, you'd be like, this is quite obviously some sort of spy shit, right? Like, it's like,
well, his like shady origins, because that was when he first became a public figure and all this came out, and no regular person had heard of him before that. You're like, who is this guy? And you look into him, it's like, well, how did he get all this money to do all this shit in the first place anyway? And it being kind of nebulous and weird, that's like, that's the why that part. Yes, all the second parts though of that, like, could also track if he just like somebody swooping in and getting him off with a lighter sentence, or people coming up for him, or covering up for him, or like letting him, you know, if he's like, if he's the guy that gets the young girls for the other powerful people that like young girls, and he's been that guy, then it's like, you know, it's like a blackmail type of situation or whatever, right? Like you would, that's what the, that's what a lot of people have been saying this whole time, right? Is that like Clinton and the rest of those, that they want, they wanted him protected because it would, you know, negatively affect them. So that's why he got to like, just, you know, fly under the radar, keep doing this shit without facing any repercussions for a long time. I'm not saying that's the reality. I'm saying that's what people say. But you're saying it was like he was, that is all the case, but he was some kind of operative too. Like it was more directed, okay, or pointed than that, so the, or something.
The people he know he was helping, like he would, what he would do was try to connect rich philanthropists with like charities and universities and stuff, right? So like you look at what the Clinton Foundation does, like say like supply like malaria nets to Haiti or whatever, pick a country. If you want to destabilize the government, what you want is a malaria outbreak. So if you're like an intelligence service who wants to like invade Haiti, you would convince, you would like lobby Bill Gates and the Clinton Foundation to send their money elsewhere, right? Right. And like if you say if you were foreign, so he arranged for a bunch of donations to MIT and Harvard, all right? If you want, if you're a foreign intelligence service who wants to get somebody high up at the State Department, it takes decades, right? So what you do is try to get them a job in Harvard's Kennedy School of Government to start with. I mean, get them admitted, right? That's like step one of this shit. Like people think this is a bugaboo I might have mentioned before, but people think like spy shit is Jason Bourne, when spy shit is this.
Right.
This is what it looks like.
Right.
And people think it's just blackmail. That's how he got his money. But I'm sure like you could have blackmailed to some money, but how does blackmail scale as a business? Right. It's like, I'm blackmailing you with this sex tape. Now, I guess you could blackmail you to loop your friends in too, but you're going to call up Oprah? Like, how is Oprah involved? It's
right.
Like, yeah, it's all very weird. And I think everyone's being pretty naive about it. And I know, like, I'm not sure what kind of source we'd need to be a whistleblower to tell us what was actually happening here, but I know it's not just what we're seeing. And even then, I made a joke about why he's breaking all these like he had crimes against humanity, all these laws, but he kept meticulous flight records. Like he's following FAA regulations, which to me is a sign he never thought he'd be busted. He thought he had a get out of jail free card. But I said that, and somebody was like, "Well, it's like a dead man switch."
Yeah, right.
But this is only coming out because of Virginia Giuffre's lawsuit, and it's like 3 years after he died.
Yeah.
So like, well, this is a very ineffective dead man.
It's also just a card to play, though, isn't it? If you're him, I mean, I get the idea. It's like, it's obviously it's bad for. It's like the line from The Wire. You're taking notes on a criminal fucking conspiracy, right? And he did that meticulously the whole time. Sure, but it also, I could see how again it would be like a card he has in his back pocket. If any of these other people, I don't know if the heat does get turned up or anybody turns on him or whatever it is, it's like a thing he can threaten to do to get people in line and shit. I don't know. I mean, I can't help but think about this whole thing in like movie terms. I don't know how any of this shit actually works. You know what I mean? But,
right. Yeah. I don't know, man. We'll probably never know. And it's also like going back to the Trump stuff, people think that Epstein was murdered, but ignore the fact that Trump was president when he was murdered in federal custody. Right. If that's the case, like people kill themselves in federal prison all the time. It's miserable.
So, right. Yeah. Well, that, and also my hot take on that from the very beginning was always that everybody was freaking out. It became a meme on the internet, but you know, at the end of a totally unrelated post or whatever, somebody'd be like, "Oh, also Epstein didn't kill himself." # Epstein didn't kill. Everybody was just Epstein didn't kill himself. And from the very beginning, I was like, well, to me, it's kind of irrelevant, really. And it might sound crazy, but I don't think it. Like, the fact that it happened at all, like, even if he did do it, he shouldn't have been able to do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, he should have, in the position he was in, he should have been under suicide watch and whatnot. So even if it really doesn't matter whether he did it or someone else did it to him, it shouldn't have happened, period. You know?
Yeah.
People got too hung up on the, oh, he didn't really kill himself thing, when that wasn't really the point of it to me. But
people like, oh, the cameras were broken. The guards only said they made the rounds and didn't actually check on them. It's like, oh, you're telling me that the something government run is underfunded, and that also the fellow employees goofed off and took a nap instead of doing their jobs.
Yeah. Like,
okay, that's not evidence of a conspiracy, but what do I know? You know.
All right.
I'm open to being proven wrong.
Well, let's switch gears. No pun intended. Can you switch gears in a Cybertruck? Is it all just computer shit? Do they even have? I don't know how these things work. But anyway, let's talk about the Cybertruck.
You control it. You need to use an iPad to unlock the glove box.
Yeah, I don't you know, hits for anybody, that type of thing. No. Also, like, I know that a lot of these new cars and stuff, they got I've been in a Tesla and they got a big ass screen, and other cars or companies are copying that. They don't have knobs for anything anymore. Like, that seems like overtly more dangerous to me. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Damn. Oh, we'll get to that. Okay. We'll get to that in a second. Okay.
Yeah, I've always thought that was kind of weird. Anyway, go ahead.
So I've been thinking a lot about regulations. My wife's opening a fitness studio. That's why it's one of the reasons we moved, and to be closer to it. And getting permits is a fucking nightmare. Mm-hmm. All right, it's kind of ridiculous. Like, our contractor recommended she hire something called a permit expediter, which is not something I was ever familiar with. Of course, inserting middleman into something that doesn't need it is a classic American right. scam. It's pretty much what health insurance sure. is. But, like, it's just a fitness studio. It's a square room for people to move around in. She's not opening up a nuclear power plant or something. But if you get the permits in the wrong order, it'll completely fuck your shit up. And so you need a permit expediter to make sure. But, like, there should already be a permit expediter who works for the city, because the city should want businesses open in it, right?
You'd think so. You know, what you're right. talking about right now, I heard Arnold Schwarzenegger on WTF recently go on a massive tirade about this exact thing you're talking about. Now he was saying, like, you know, because he was like, he's a Republican, but not like a crazy ass one or whatever. And he was going mm-hmm. and he was talking about how that's the real problem with infrastructure. What I don't remember exact context of it, but he was like, Mark Maron was making some kind of like, you know, more liberal argument for, you know, we can't get funding for the things we need and waste it on other things instead. And Arnold went into this whole thing about, like, he just starts talking about permits. And at first it's like, what the fuck? And then he, like, goes into it further and elaborates on how in California, how the permit system works and how difficult it is. And it's an impediment to growth and all this stuff that happens. And I was like, well, shit, I'll be goddamn. Right. I didn't know any of that. But that's like, it's like big government, Mark, fucking everything up for everybody. Bureaucracy, red tape.
Right. This is what I was thinking about, is like this is the level of government most Americans interact with. And you can forgive them for right. thinking that we live in some big government hellscape. Right. We sort of do for regular people
right.
who doesn't have any sort of rules, or rich people. They live in a libertarian, like a libertarian, like free market, whatever. And I was thinking about all this. Here's a quote I found in one of the stories about the Cybertruck. Things are legal by default in America and illegal by default in Europe. That's a quote from Elon. That is true for Elon. It's not true for my wife.
Right.
Right. And to Schwarzenegger's point, like, it costs like 50 times as much to build a mile of subway here, because like talking about inserting middlemen, you got to hire McKinsey to do a 1,000-page environmental impact report. They get paid millions of dollars and come back and tell you can't do it. Right. Right. And it's like, what's the environmental impact of not building a subway? Because we're all drowning in fucking carbon.
Right.
So, like, anyway. So, I was thinking about, like some things just shouldn't be allowed that are. And, like, there should be regulation in place. There's a study that came out that said that hospitals owned by private equity have 25% increase in post-surgery infections. Like, private equity should not be allowed to own hospitals. Somebody's got to do something about it.
Right.
But nobody's going to do anything. Right.
No, they want, it to go the other way. You know, the right though. They want private equity to own everything, all the hospitals, all the schools, all the prisons, all these things that they have no business mm-hmm. operating. You know, police forces eventually, I'm sure, just, you know, turn those into
right.
merc groups instead. That'd be fun for everybody with, you know, kill bots and shit, I'm sure.
Yeah. You got to subscribe to the fire department.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But this made me think, like, the panic over the Panera lemonade, I'll make this make sense in a second.
Yeah.
I read a piece that made an interesting point, that the panic around the Panera lemonade, which, if you guys haven't even kept up, Panera rolled out a caffeinated lemonade. They put the caffeine amounts in too small print under it. So people were drinking essentially 4 Monster Energy drinks a day and didn't know they were getting any caffeine.
Absolutely right? insane to me. Like, a lemonade from a white bread-ass place like Panera, like, gives you
Well, people are getting free refills. Well, okay. The amount of caffeine in one large is less than a venti. Less than a venti.
But they put it on the fountain by the other drinks, and so you could just get as many. Yeah, as you want. Yeah.
Right. So people that go to Panera to work for the free Wi-Fi are getting refills. Are getting
I didn't realize I had forgotten that. Now I'm kind of back on this. I mean, I get why maybe they ought not do that, but you know, it has caffeine in it at all. It's any kind of energy drink adjacent type of thing. If you're getting 3 refills and then having a heart attack and complaining about it, I don't know. It's kind of on you to me.
Like, well, so when I was home in October, my mom was taking us to the airport. We stopped at Panera and she got lemonade. And I had read the label was like, my mom's 70. she isn't the best eyesight, right? And the words decaffeinated was like in like size 7.
Oh, it's not something? Like it's not like it wasn't large labeled. Lemonade. It's not like marketed that way. Oh, well, now I'm back on the other side. What the fuck are they doing?
See, this confusion is part of the problem. Where right. Like, yes, if you drink one, it's like not that bad for you. But like, they've already had 2 lawsuits filed, and probably people are going to lose the lawsuits because. But all Panera had to do was make the label bigger. I'm not sure where they were trying to smuggle it into people, but I took it away from my mom because I was like, "This is caffeinated." She goes, "Oh, I didn't see that." I'm like, "Okay, but like, you can't." Fuck. But like, I read a piece making the point that the panic is really about like how ineffectual our government is regulating this shit, because we just know we can't trust the government to not let a company poison us. So we get mad at Panera, but Panera is not the bad guy here. It's a regulatory state that allows gas station dick pills and supercharged lemonades that aren't clearly labeled at Panera. Right. Mm-hmm. There's tons of this shit that like nobody's watching. Like I read recently that like Uber's pricing algorithm doesn't just like the search pricing isn't just for high volume areas. Like it knows your battery usage, and your battery's low, it jacks up the price because you're getting home with more.
Yeah, urgent. Exactly. That's devious right there. I didn't know that either.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and smart, shitty, but smart. Like, because, like you said, if your battery's about to die and you're out somewhere and you need to get home, you're gonna like, I don't care what the fucking price is. Come now, I need this now. Yeah,
and maybe that's fair, but nobody knows it's happening. Right. It's not transparent because nobody makes them reveal how they set their fucking prices.
Right.
All right. So another example of this I saw is pretty hilarious. This headline, let me read: Amazon has a donkey meat problem.
Uh-huh.
So this woman bought herbal supplements. It was labeled 100% pure natural herb, but she read the label and it had something called gelatina nigra. She Googled it and she found out it was made from like donkey skin, like melted down donkey skin to make this kind of gelatin. And there's no regulation that says you can't sell herbal supplements that actually have donkey meat in them. There's no rule.
Okay.
Right?
It's like right. Okay. If you're like a vegan or something, you don't want any kind of animal products, and what you just said is definitely fucked up. If you can be like, you know, tricked into eating donkey pills without knowing it, that's fucked up. So yeah, it should be on there. Cause I was going to say, like, if it was me, I was just thinking about this and talking about with Corey too recently about how like, it's kind of arbitrary. Maybe me and you've talked about it before too. It's really kind of arbitrary about the animals that people, we did talk about this. It's arbitrary that the people freak out about eating certain animals and not other ones. And it's all really kind of arbitrary and shit when you look at it. So it's like, and also gelatin, all of it is, it's fucking animal bones and hooves and shit anyway. So like a donkey mm-hmm. version of that, I wouldn't blink an eye at it, but I do. It isn't cool to sneak it into somebody's like multivitamin without telling them, you know, because other people might care.
I don't have any problem eating donkey meat, me personally, but this lady didn't want to eat donkey meat. Right. The label said 100% pure natural herbs.
Yes, right. It's very different.
It's straight up fraud. You're being lied right. to. Like it's not even about the thing and the thing. It's about like, can you trust labels or not? And so I was thinking about the contrast between my wife has to get approval from like 40 people to move a toilet 4 feet from the city of Woodland Hills, California. But all these companies can just put whatever they want, whatever labels, and roll it out. And then I was reading up on the Cybertruck and thinking about all this, about how for Elon, everything's technically by default legal in America. But let's start by looking at it. Look at this fucking shit. I don't know who'd want this anyway.
It looks like a early gen like polygonal PlayStation render or something, like in like PS1 games and stuff, where everything was like Lara Croft and Tomb Raider, her boobs were triangles, like pointed triangles, because they didn't, you know, the technology wasn't like advanced enough to make rounded, you know, things. It looks like it's from that era, but it's supposed to be like state of the art. Find that to be an odd choice personally. Also, and I really cannot stress this enough, I do not understand how that is supposed to be a goddamn truck. That is not how, because that back part, it's not open, right? Or maybe it can open or something, but it's not like, we're not looking at like an El Camino type situation here. That's enclosed.
I think it can open and look more like a truck, but like, it doesn't fucking matter. It's stupid. It looks like, what reminded me of is like Rosie from the Jetsons' feet. Now she's the robot maid. She got to ride on wheels. Yeah. But apparently Tesla's whole design team tried to propose a bunch of alternate designs. Elon was the one guy who just insisted on it looking like this. And Tesla's a public company. They should have fired him a long fucking time ago. This is a disaster. Nobody's going to want this motherfucker outside of his cult.
I was about to say, you sure? Because, I mean, the way his people, I'm sure they're lining up around the block to get it if there's enough of them.
But like, Oh, they're super excited. Right. I don't know if you've seen the videos of people shooting the truck with machine guns. The panels are bulletproof, I guess, mm-hmm. which is a problem for impact, crash impact. We'll get to that in a minute. But like, I don't understand the point of having bulletproof panels when you have windows, but whatever.
Wait, the windows are not bulletproof? Anyway, only the panels are?
Bulletproof glass would not be
economical. You know, I know, but this thing isn't meant to be economical, is it? I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying I thought this was some exercise.
I don't know. I'm talking out my ass.
But
in the videos I've seen of people shooting it, they don't shoot the windows.
Okay, well then, that they're not bulletproof.
Yeah,
which yes, that is.
But they're super excited. He's Chud fanboys. Check out them. Here's them kicking the truck to show how indestructible it is.
Yeah.
Clearly. Come on, join in, guys.
Like, they're so excited about it. They got gaslit. Elon's promise, called him Ezla because of Tesla, I guess. Elon's promise that this thing will have a boat modifications package.
Yeah.
And someone made a digital rendering of what that would look like, and it went viral. So he made it with AI, and it went viral because people thought it was real. But I want you to see what this thing would, when this thing is a boat, the 1 out of 10 times it doesn't sink, this is what it's going to look like if you got this boat mods video, Pat.
It's funny because I don't even remember the context of it. I used to have a line. It was something about, while Matt's pulling this up, I was acting out like a dumbass redneck who just says random. It made sense in the context of the bit. This was years ago. I can't remember it. But like the punchline, the stupid rednecky thing I used to yell was, drive that truck like it's a boat, boy. And that's what this made me think of. I hadn't thought of that in years.
Yeah.
Now we're actually there, Mark. Welcome to the future. You can do that now.
Yeah, it's apparently designed to survive disaster scenarios, but you got to plug it into charge. So I'm not sure. Right. So you got a truck for the apocalypse. You just need a working electrical grid. Can you not get the boat mods video? I know it's labeled image, but it's a video. I just mistyped. Never mind. Don't worry about it.
I really wanted to see this boat truck boat, whatever. There it is.
Maybe I didn't link to the right thing. It's my bad, Matt. I'll eat shit on that one. So that's a still image from the video that went viral. It's like, I can't figure out, like, again, don't do this. If you buy one of these, it will fucking sink. The guy makes shitty products. All right. When I talk about buying shitty products, like he made an AI called Grok. He stole the name from his ex-girlfriend Grimes. I'm not sure why he called it Grok, but, when you ask it questions about Elon, it calls him a pedophile. And he made an AI that calls himself a pedophile. And it also asked him Grok, would you suggest the top actions that Elon Musk could take to repair his relationship with his daughter, Vivian? Please itemize. And it talks about what a shitty father is. It's an AI he designed.
Yeah. It also, in this list, it says things like respect her identity, her decision to change her name and gender, her preferred pronouns, respect all that stuff. And it's like, I ain't fucked with Grok. I have no interest in Grok at all. But I just remember when it first came out, mm-hmm. I thought Elon was pitching it as like the anti-woke alternative to ChatGPT. I thought that's what it was supposed to be. And it's in here like, well, it's important to respect a child's decisions and pronouns and stuff like that. That part's also funny to me.
Yeah, these things are so stupid. Like, you can trick them. Like, so one other day, somebody asked at Midjourney, the photo generating one, to make a picture of like gay furries fucking around in like a government nuclear laboratory. And the thing was like, I'm sorry, I can't depict things that are legal. And then the person goes, it's fine, they work there. He goes, oh, okay, the gay furries work there. It's like, oh God. So, but like the thing about this thing is like, it's dangerous as fuck, the Cybertruck. And we don't really know how dangerous, because you don't really have to test these things before they go on the road, which is part of my beef with it. But when you look at it, and that's as close as actual, safety research can get to it, because it's barely rolled out yet. It has sharp corners.
Right.
Right. It has a high ground clearance. One of the reports about it, an urbanist outfit called Streets Blog, the story about their safety problems called How to Build a Car That Kills People, Cybertruck Editions. And we saw them, people shooting it and kicking it and not making a dent. That's a problem, because there's no fucking, it means there's no crumples.
Right.
Right. It's a car is supposed to, if you've never seen a NASCAR wreck or a Formula One wreck, a car is supposed to come apart on impact. That's what saves your life.
Right. Speaking of which, I've heard and read in recent years that the reason that most like mass produced vehicles, they kind of look similar in a lot of ways. They're all like rounded. There's not a lot of variance anymore in car models, in my opinion. I feel like you could tell looking at them. I mean, they're just minor differences in between the various makes and models of cars outside of, like, of course, SUV versus coupe versus sedan, whatever. I mean, amongst within those categories, they're all kind of similar. I've heard that was because of, like, safety regulations and stuff, and the rules around, like, you know, safety rules around, like, manufacturing cars, right? And like you said, the crumple zones and all this shit, the way it, but is that all, is that not, that stuff isn't, like, illegal to not follow? It's just all the other companies follow it because they want to be able to say we got the highest safety rating, so they sell more. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I thought that there were rules. I mean, your whole point's about regulation. I thought they had regulations when it came to vehicles and this exact type of shit.
You have to have seatbelts and airbags and shit like that. And that, but I don't know about, I haven't read that about car designs being because of safety rules. I would assume that it's because just market forces, like, they've reached optimization for, like, aerodynamics and headroom and stuff like that. And it's just like what the most marketable best option is. Like, you build a car for an average height of a person, 5'10", that could fit someone 6'4", you know, yada, yada, yada. Like, it's like, if you're 7 foot tall, you get to hope you're an NBA so you can afford a custom made truck. But, like, so from what I've read, there's been no crash testing outside of Tesla unless they did it themselves.
Yeah.
And the researchers I read interviewed said, like, they wouldn't judge it based upon the videos. That's not a fair way to judge it, but it doesn't look great, the crash test ratings. But we know it's dangerous to pedestrians because all you got to do is look at
right.
The sharp edges. What does a bulletproof and kickproof exterior do to a kid's head? The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety released new research. It says the vehicles with higher and more vertical front ends are significantly more likely to kill pedestrians. But that's a vertical front end is like a Ford F-350.
Right.
This is like a blade.
Right.
So you have a car that has 18 inches of ground clearance. It still can't climb up a hill, by the way. You're talking about not being a truck. It gets stuck on hills. It's also silent. It runs silent because it's electric. And Elon's pushed back. The government's tried to make it so electric vehicles have to make some sort of sounds you can hear coming. He's pushed back against that. He wants it perfectly silent and also soundproof. So with 18 inches of ground clearance, and you're going to run over a kid who won't hear you coming, who you can't hear screaming under the car.
Right.
It's also 6,800 pounds, which is dangerously heavy, but not the heaviest. Like a Hummer electrical vehicle is heavier, but the 6,800 pounds is the weight of two Honda Accords. And it goes super fast too. Like, the high end Cyberbeast version will go from 0 to 60 in 2.6 seconds. That's pickup comparable to a Formula One race car. Nothing needs to go that fast. Mm-mm. I know it's cool. I like going fast too. I'm not gonna lie, but, like, it's like if the government would only make a car to go to 0 to 60 in 5 seconds, that's fine with me,
right?
But the antisocial part of this is part of the selling point, which is not weird. SUVs do this shit all the time too. That's why they make them look meaner, meaner, meaner. But Elon's openly promising this as if you ever have an argument with another car, you will win,
right? All right.
He's saying, like, if you get in a wreck,
you'll live and the other person will die. Right. Yes. Which I can see how that's an effective marketing tactic with his demographic. You know what I mean? Because they seem to be, you know, pretty selfish and lacking in empathy as a general rule. So.
Right. And I'm just like, we're like this weird place where, like, we're in, like, a arms race with other drivers. It's like somebody's got to step in and do something. But again, we don't have a government. But by the way, sitting in traffic sort of radicalized me on this shit. Because something I didn't know until I covered car accidents when I was a reporter is fatality accidents take way longer for the cops to clean up because you have to do a bunch more investigating for a fatal accident or potential fatality. So, like, when you don't wear your seatbelt or your airbag doesn't go off or you drive recklessly and you die, it doesn't just affect you. It makes 100,000 other people late for wherever they're fucking going. Mm-hmm. And if you want to kill yourself, I don't want you to do it, but it doesn't really impact me. But if you do it on a public highway by being an asshole and an idiot –
Well, that's true. That's true of any kind of asshole-y driving. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the whole problem with that type of thing. It's like, I don't, whatever, you got places to go and people to see or whatever else, but, like, you're endangering, you know, my children who are in the car with me and all these other people and their families and shit too by driving like an asshole. So, yeah, but, it, you know, most people don't give a fuck.
And unless you're on, like, a 10-hour drive, going 10 miles an hour doesn't save you much time anyway.
I know. So, but like, people do, people, like, you know, they'll they'll like swerve around you to cut in front of you, even though you're both like sitting in traffic or whatever. And it's like, oh, thank God you made up that 15 feet or whatever while we're now both still sitting here for the next hour or so. What, like that type of shit people do. Yeah. I mean, traffic is enraging. You know?
I feel like we need to do a day in math class before kids turn 16. Where we calculate the difference in time between doing 70 for 10 miles and 55 for 10 miles and show them that you're not actually getting there any faster. Mm-hmm. You're just not. So like, you don't need to do it unless you're, I mean, of course, kids are gonna do it anyway because it's fun. But so like, I talked before about how you gotta use a touchscreen to open the glove box. The signal lights are also touchscreen. So this is what that looks like in practice. Here's a video of someone trying to swerve away across a 4-lane highway to the left with their right turn signal on because they pressed the wrong button.
Yeah.
Like, that's so fucking stupid.
First of many, I'm sure, videos like that, buddy.
We've solved the turn signal button. I push it up to the left when I want to see the left. I push it down to the right when I want to. It's like, you don't need to be meddling with this. But here's how you can just put them on the road. These cars are self-certified. This is the one I'm coming back to, all right? Even if federal regulators wanted to slow down the rollout or to stop it, there's nothing they can do legally. The way it's tested is you put it on the road, and after it kills people, then you figure out why. Then you can recall it for those reasons.
Right.
It's like so we're all in this beta test that I didn't sign up for. I don't have a Cybertruck. I don't want one. But if one hits me and kills me, I'll become a federal data point in its safety rating. You know, this stuff drives me insane. They're like, okay, let me read here. Automakers are free to design and sell whatever they like as long as they certify with the label each car adheres to the Encyclopedia of Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standards. But like, again, they're testing themselves. And nothing in this code, like I mentioned before, references pedestrian safety or maximum acceleration. You can make a car that goes as fast as a rocket ship that we know will kill kids, and there's nothing in the law they can do to stop it. Elon said on a podcast that the Cybertruck had passed all the regulatory tests, which is a straight up lie because there are no fucking tests. Yeah, in Europe, by the way, you pre-certify before you roll it out. So that's what Elon's complaining about. Things are by default legal in America and by default illegal in Europe. Because in Europe, you have to test your death machine before you put it on a fucking highway. I don't know what pedestrians never factored in this shit. We'll skip this section back because we're running behind. But by the way, pedestrian fatalities are surging in America. 7,500 people were killed last year from being hit by cars, the most since 1981. The only thing that's changed about cars since then is they've gotten bigger. So making cars safer for people inside, more dangerous for people outside. And the people that won't let their kids go out at night or whatever, it's not pedophiles you need to worry about. It's cars.
Right.
I just want to say that. Like that's what you should be afraid of. Parents should be radicalized to get against this shit, but they're not. And if you want to know who the main bad guy is here, because there are only like 4 or 5 bad guy families in America when you get to the bottom of it. The light truck safety standard was invented for when AMC wanted to start selling Jeeps. And the head of American Motors Company at AMC at that point was George Romney, Mitt Romney's dad. So there you
always
go.
Always all connected. George Carlin says, just one big club and you ain't in it. Always goes that way.
The thing that truly frightens me about this is not just that we can't recall it till after it kills people, but that Tesla's gotten so good at escaping accountability, even after it kills people, we might not know. There was this like devastating report from Reuters last year where Tesla's gotten good at blaming its drivers for shit involved in its poor design. Like there are a bunch of anecdotes in here from people. This guy, had driven his Tesla 115 miles and he tried to turn into his neighborhood left and his fucking wheel fell off.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's like, if we're doing 70 miles an hour, me and my whole family would be dead. And Tesla told him it was because he'd abused the car. He'd gone 115 miles. He's like a family man. He hasn't fucking ruined the car. Anyway, they made him pay to fix it. It cost him $14,000.
Jesus Christ.
They suppressed a bunch of customer service complaints about bad design. They did stuff that nobody, going back to the Uber thing, the price surging, they rigged an algorithm to inflate its car's in-dash range estimates. So it just adds 40% to how far you can go. So you run out of fucking electricity where the thing tells you your battery's got plenty in it. Another guy had a front wheel fall off at 60 miles an hour. Here's a fun customer complaint. It's just here's filed with the Federal Trade Commission. It tried to kill me, this woman named Jamie Minchell describing a sudden power steering outage in his Tesla Model Y. This last guy, He was driving his wife's 2018 Model 3 in August when he rolled over a speed bump and lost power steering. The Tesla service manager told him that a power steering connector had corroded. The manager said the likely cause was a car wash, which he described as a known problem. He had to pay $4,400 to replace the steering rack and wiring harness. Quote, this is the only car I've ever heard of where a car wash can damage the wiring.
Cars generally should be, you know, made to withstand the rigors of a car wash. You would think if a car wash could take out your car, you're in a pretty shitty situation vehicle wise.
And what the manager told him, this is all time infuriating, right? This is like tech bro mentality to the fucking nth degree. All I can tell you, the Tesla manager said, is we're not a 100-year-old company like GM and Ford. We haven't worked out all the bugs yet. Okay, going back to the signal, this turn signals. Power steering is a problem we have solved a long time ago. Just hire some car engineers away from Ford and General Motors instead of hiring tech like computer science dropouts from Stanford to work for your fucking car making company. This is not shit that need to be reinvented. We have SUVs. We have trucks. You don't need a square one with sharp edges that kills kids where you need like the nuclear launch codes to get the tailgate done.
Right.
It's also fucking stupid. And I wish we had a government that would regulate Elon and not my wife.
Yep. But, you know, that just ain't how it works. You know, that's sort of the whole thing in this country is it's, you know, the people who need the policing the most get it the least at all levels of society. Yeah.
I don't know if I need wealth for the money, but it'd be nice to be above the law. Right. It really would
be pretty sweet. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you all for supporting the show and checking out this here bonus episode. We appreciate it. We'll be back on Skews Day and we'll see you then. Love you. Bye.